morning. So my claim to fame is, my claim to fame is that I was a chaplain of Leicester City. That is true. I was chaplain of Leicester City, but only when they were rubbish. So I have no impact on current performance. So it's great to be here. I'm going to tell you about this vision to build a national landmark in this country, which is about Jesus. It's been a journey for 15 years, and it's called the Wall of Answered Prayer, and we are really close to pulling it off. And just to give you an idea, if you could put up the slide, this is what it looks like. It's in terms of size, it's 50 meters high, so that's sort of three times the height of the Angel of the North, and it'll be made up of 1 million bricks. And every single brick will represent an answered prayer, a story where somebody has prayed to Jesus and he's answered. And people will be able to go, they'll be able to, through technology, put their phone or point their phone to any point of the structure, and their phone will light up and it will tell them the story of Jesus answering prayer. So before we get into that, I'm going to tell you why we're doing it, and then I'll tell you more about it in itself. But I have a little confession to make before we get started. And that is, I have never built a national landmark before. This is my first time. I'm not an architect. I'm not a civil engineer. In fact, I don't know how to put up a set of shelves. I don't know what I'm doing. I am making it up as I go along. But I want to just encourage anyone who's got a dream to go for it. You know, when you have a dream, you can stand, it's like this, you can stand at the back here, it's nice and comfortable, and you can say, I'm going to go for that dream. As soon as I've got all those things, I'm going to go for it. But I've learned that to see a dream fulfilled, you have to stand on the edge. You got to stand right on the edge where you're thinking, I have no idea how we're going to do this. I have no idea how we're going to find the skills, find the resources, but I'm going to trust in you, Lord, and I'm going to jump. And you know, every time we've done that on this journey, I've found that God has been true to his word. And you're going to hear some amazing stories of the things God has done. You know, and people sort of say, well, when you have a dream, you've got, you know, the devil's in the detail. I just want to say that's not true. That's not a scripture. That's one of those Christian phrases. You've got to get into the detail, but you've got to get into the right details. And you've got to get into one really key detail. Is God in it? If God is in your dream, nobody can stop it. If God is in your dream, nobody can frustrate it. Nobody can hinder it. It will come to pass. I love the bit in Acts where it says that the Sanhedrin are judging on Peter and the apostles, and Gamaliel says, you know, if God is in this, nobody's going to stop these men. If you have got the dream of God in your heart, if you are prepared to walk in his purposes and his pathways, you are unstoppable. And God's dream is unstoppable through you. So let me tell you why on earth we're doing this. Deuteronomy, if you can turn with me to Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. It's incredible when you start looking through the scriptures of how many times the scriptures talk about remembrance and the importance of remembering what God has done. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to your children after them. And if you go through the Word of God, you know, it's pretty much in every book, there's the encouragement to remember what God has done. You know, they laid stones, didn't they, to remember encounters with God. When they crossed the Jordan, they took the 12 stones up from the riverbed, carried them to Gilgal. Why? So that the generations would know what God had done. Well, we're not going with 12, we're going for a million. Go big or go home. But actually, if you look in Judges, 300, 400 years later, those stones still stood in Gilgal. They built wells to remember what God had done at that place. And shepherds would take their staves and they would make indentations on them in those times to remember God's protection or to remember God's provision. So if you look through the word of God, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. It's about remembering what God has done. When Moses stood in front of the sea with his staff raised high, was he thinking, this is going to be a tricky one? Or was he looking at his staff? Was he looking at the trouble ahead of him? Or was he looking at his staff and remembering the things that God had done in his life? I believe the latter. I believe that there is a power in remembering what God has done in each of our lives. And I'm just going to ask you for a moment now, just think of a time where Jesus has answered a prayer for you. Just think of a moment where you have called on his name in a situation and he has come up trumps for you. And have you ever wondered why the omnipotent, almighty God did that for you in that moment? You see, I believe that answered prayer is a gift from God. And in Corinthians, Paul talks about the answered prayers of many, the gracious favor granted for the answered prayers of many. And that word is charismata, gracious favor granted. Because I believe every time God answers a prayer, it has an eternal purpose. It's not just for that one moment so we can go, woohoo, God's answered our prayer. Actually, that answered prayer can sustain us and do so much more. So I've got 3 points. Number one is, when we remember, because it gives us a power of reference, it's a reference point for us on who God is. When I was a chaplain at Leicester City, when they were rubbish, I had the good fortune of working with Sven-Goran Eriksson for a year. I don't know if many of you have heard of him. He used to be England manager. You'll all have your opinions. But I met him, and he was a lovely bloke. He's one of the most humble blokes I've ever met. And the thing with Sven is he could be in a crowded room and surrounded by agents and press. And if somebody like the laundry lady would walk in, he'd leave them all behind and walk across the room and say hello to her. And he did that with loads of people. He was amazing. Now, I've just told you something about Sven, because I've met him and I know him. And most of you, I hope, will believe what I've just said. It's the same when we tell people about Jesus. You know, we can tell people about Jesus, about the black and white, what's written, but you can also tell people about Jesus, about your personal experience, your personal story. How do you know that Jesus is like he is? Because you've got stories of what he's done in your life. And the Wall of Answer Prayer, I believe, will be a catalyst for us as a nation to become storytellers, to tell this nation who Jesus is. Because this nation needs to know who Jesus is. We've lost our way. We've lost our reference point. Remembrance Day today. Do you know in 1938, King George VI called this nation to pray? His words were this: in times of trial, we will do what our fathers and our forefathers have done before us, and we will call on the Lord Most High. So he called the whole nation to pray on the 26th of on the 26th of May. And millions of people queued outside churches to pray. I've seen the photos, incredible. Winding snakes of people just queuing up because they wanted to pray for the boys on the beaches of Dunkirk. And at that moment, Winston Churchill had been told that of the 400,000, they would get maybe 20, maybe 30,000 off the beaches alive. So the king called the nation to pray. And if you watch the film Dunkirk, right at the beginning, it describes the situation and it says they needed deliverance, they needed a miracle. But the film does not tell the truth. It does not tell what really happened on that day. On the 28th of May, unbeknownst to any historians, they don't know why it happened, but Hitler, 2 days after the nation had prayed, Hitler changed his mind and stopped his forces advancing on that beach. The fog came in to allow all the boats to come in and rescue those soldiers. The seas were calm to allow those boats to come in and rescue those soldiers. But just 100 kilometres away, there was a massive storm which grounded the German Air Force. God showed up. 15 times in our history as a nation, the king has called this nation to pray. And every time God has shown up. And we're in danger of losing that as a nation. And if we lose the stories of what God has done in our nation, we forget who he is. He is the God who answers. So point one, when we remember, it's a power of reference. Second point is, when we remember who God is, it recalibrates our mind. It recalibrates our mind to who he is. Have you ever been in a storm of life? When you're in a storm of life, your mind goes all over the place, doesn't it? And you start doubting. You start thinking, is this really going to happen? Help me. You know, you can get all over the place. I was walking on Dartmoor recently. And I'd park my car up, just stop my car in a random place. And I just went for a walk for 30 minutes. And I was just talking to God and praying and singing. And then after 30 minutes, I thought, oh, I don't know where I parked my car. And then I did a really stupid thing. I went like, where did I park my car? And by the time I'd spun around, I couldn't even remember which direction I'd walked in 5 meters ago. And I just started to panic and thinking, I have no way of finding my way back to my car. And then just off in the distance, I saw this grey horse. And I was like, brilliant. I'll walk past that grey horse on the way. Head for the grey horse. How many of you know that something that moves is not a good reference point? It took me a long time to find my car. But the point is this, our emotions move. Our circumstances move. But the word of God helps to direct us on who Jesus is. And I believe that the stories of what God has done in our lives complement that. So make sure you capture your stories. Make sure you write them down. Make sure you tell them to your children and your children's children, because when the winds blow, you've got that point that can't be moved. Third point is this. I believe that remembering has the power of repeat. In Revelation, it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, the stories of what Jesus has done, the written stories, the verbal stories, are the spirit of prophecy. If you tell a story of what God has done, you're prophesying that it can happen again. You change the spiritual atmosphere in the room. So I'm going to change the spiritual atmosphere in the room. When I was 17 years old, I started having some pains in my spine. I went to the doctors. He told me to swim. I couldn't swim. It wasn't great advice. 10 years later, I went to the doctors again. The pains were getting much worse. And the doctor said I had this thing called ankylosing spondylitis, which is when the bones in your spine fuse together. I went to loads of healing meetings. The amount of meetings that you go to and the amount of words of knowledge about bad backs are pretty frequent. I went forward for prayer. I can't tell you how many times. Every time I was like, Lord, I'm going to be like a child. I'm going to believe like today is the day. I got to the stage where the pains were so bad that my rib cage would be in spasm in the night. I'd wake up and I wouldn't be able to breathe. And it felt like an eternity. I mean, I'm a man, so I'm going to exaggerate, but it felt like minutes. And in my head, I'm thinking, maybe this is the way I'm going to die one night, just not being able to breathe. And I went to the doctor another time, just a regular checkup. They'd give me loads of pills and all this stuff. And he said, Mr. Gamble, he said, your back is like a car in a traffic jam. And we will be able to give you medicine to slow that car getting to the end of the road. But the day that it gets to the end of the road, you're stuffed. That was my encouraging word for my GP for the day. And I came out just really angry. And I just thought, I am not going to let the word of an expert overrule the word of God. I'm not going to let him prophesy over my life. And so I started to pray in a different way. Lord, just stop the car. Another healing meeting, another word of knowledge about a bad back. And I went forward and the guy said, do you mind if I put oil down your back? And I said, no, go for it. It ruined my shirt, by the way. But as he pulled the oil down my back, my spine went hot. 2 weeks later, went to the doctors, booked me in for an MRI scan. And then he said, Mr. Gamble, the disease is gone. What the doctors couldn't do, God can. And I just want to encourage anybody here, and maybe there'll be an opportunity to pray for you afterwards. If you've got a long-standing disease, that doesn't mean that God has given up on you. He still wants you to be healed. I've seen loads of people healed with crushed vertebrae, bad backs. And if anyone's got a bad back, I want to pray for you. Because he is the God who could do it again. So I've just changed the atmosphere in this room just by telling you one story in a few minutes. Imagine what we could do in this nation if we planted a million stories. Imagine what we could do. What would happen to this country if we could plant a million stories that are told day after day after day throughout the generations? We could change this nation. We could turn this nation to Christ. And that's why we're building the Wall of Answered Prayer. That's why we're doing it. So now I'm going to show you a little video just to just answer a few, lighten the tone a little bit, clear up my crying, and just to give you a bit more information about the Wall of Answered Prayer.
10 things you may not know about the Wall of Answered Prayer.
Number one. So what will the bricks look like? Well, we're not going to inscribe them. What you're going to be able to do is hold your phone up to a brick and your phone should light up and tell you the specific story relating to that brick, either by audio, video, or text.
Number two, how will you read the bricks that you can't reach? We will have touchscreens that will allow visitors to type in any circumstance or situation and see the answered prayers that relate to that story. We will have tourist binoculars, which will zoom in on a brick and have the same effect.
Number three, what else will there be on site? There'll be a visitor centre, and in it, a 24/7 prayer room where we'll be praying for the nations. There'll also be an exhibition which will align with the RE curriculum. where you can go and learn what Christians believe about Jesus and how he answers our prayers.
Number four, will it be multi-faith? This will be a public piece of art about Jesus. We believe that a multi-faith society is about having the freedom to express your faith. That said, in the exhibition, we will have other faiths' views on who they believe Jesus is and let people make their own decisions.
Number five, what about unanswered prayers? Some bricks will represent immediate answers to prayer, some will have maybe waited decades for the answer, and others the answer will have been no. Visitors will be able to see those stories and how people have coped. To support them, we'll have trained chaplains available.
Number six, will my name be on a brick? All our bricks will be anonymous. We think it's safer to do it that way. And at the end of the day, we want to point to the one who answers, not to the ones that ask.
Number seven, are the answered prayers all from this generation? So we're getting historians to collect answered prayers from St. Augustine in the 6th century to the millions who queued outside churches and prayed for the boys on the beaches of Dunkirk.
Number eight, are bricks limited to people in the UK? We estimate around 750,000 answered prayers will come from the UK and the rest from around the world.
Number nine, how will it be funded? We're hoping to crowdfund this. Once the wall is completed, we'll be donating 1 million bricks to social housing. This should build around 100 homes. And each year, the profit from this will go into UK charities.
Number 10, where will it be? It will be in the heart of the nation next to a busy motorway, and we'll be announcing this and the winner of these 5 shortlisted designs in March 2019.
Well, you've already seen the design, so let's show it to you again. Now, remember on this journey, I don't know what I'm doing, okay? It's really important. But this is the Wall of Answer Prayer. It's a Mobius strip. So a Mobius strip is like a circle that's twisted, and so it's infinite. It has one, it's a wall with one side that's infinite, representing the fact that Jesus is alive, that he listens, and that he answers. That's the story that we're going to proclaim to the nation. And I had the vision for this 15 years ago, and then had 10 years of really not knowing what to do. And then 5 years ago, I felt God say, right, it's time to go on this. And so we decided to run a global competition to get this designed, partnered with the Royal Institute of British Architects. And we needed to raise £45,000 in 40 days. And so we launched it on BBC Radio 2 on the Claire Boulding show. I have no idea how we got on that show to share what at that point was an idea. I tried to raise £45,000 on an idea. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know where it was going to be. And I had no idea what to do when I'd got all those bits in place anyway. And it became pretty evident to me on that 40 days that we were not going to raise the money. I came off the show and I looked at the numbers and we were a mile off. And I went through the hardest 36 days of my life, you know, looking at my phone, waiting for it to bleep that meant there was another donation. And, you know, some days £10 came in and there was great celebration. And it was tough. And it was interesting because people stopped answering my calls, people stopped responding to my emails. People at church were like, "All right, Rich, how you doing? You good? Excellent. Good, good." You know that, and it was a lonely place. And I decided to do something that I'd never done in my life before, and I decided to pray through the night. And I prayed through the night, and I had an encounter with God. And I felt God say, "I'm behind you, I'm with you. Your job is to be at peace. Don't email people, don't call people, be at peace." Took me 2 days to be at peace. 2 days wrestling God to be at peace and to find this place of realizing this is God's project, not mine. And then at that moment of finding peace, all the money flooded in. And came in with a day to spare, by the way. Incredible. People from Japan and Spain and Croatia, it was just mad. Claire Boulding's producer was on the phone straight away. This is amazing. She was watching it every day. She didn't think you were going to do it. And I was thinking, neither did I. And then we ran the competition. We had 133 entries from 26 countries. You know, every continent in the world responded to building a wall of answer prayer in the UK. How cool is that? And so we presented it in Parliament. And at this point, I have no land and I have no money. And we're going to show you a video now. And I just want, again, for those dreamers who've got a big idea and a burden and a passion to do something for God, just watch this video and claim it for yourself, because this is how God gave us a piece of land worth £30 million. So there I am, standing in front of Parliament in this reception with MPs, people from the House of Lords, national press, sharing this vision of wanting to build this national landmark. And I have this little voice in my ear going, you haven't got any money in the bank. You haven't got any land. This is a complete fantasy.
I have to say, it's an incredibly ambitious, stunning project. Personally, I'm hoping it or something like it can come to pass.
It's got a great simplicity about it, and I'm sure it'll be an iconic structure.
It looks visually very impactful. And I think it's going to inspire a lot of people.
So how do you get land when you've got no money? Well, we prayed. And my wife and I went to a conference at a church in California. And this lady came up to us and she said, I've got a word from God for you.
Yeah, I saw heavenly land being given to you. I don't know if you're actually seeking land, property.
So we went back to my intercessors and I said, hey, look, listen to this word. And one of them, this lady called Sue, said, well, if God's told us that he's got the land already prepared, I'm just going to ask him for some more details.
And so I did. I was brushing my teeth and I was just praying. And it wasn't a particularly holy moment. It was just me talking to God like I talked to him. I just said, tell me something about the land. And as soon as I'd finished saying it, he told me, he gave me a word.
And she types the word into Google Maps, and up comes a dental practice. I guess that's God's sense of humour. Above the dental practice is a motorway, and then above that is a piece of land. And Sue circles the piece of land and emails me and says, this is the land, or the person who owns it is highly significant. What she didn't know was one of the family who owned the land had emailed me and asked to meet. So I meet this guy, just share the vision with him, and he's like stony-faced. I have no idea whether he likes it or not. And at the end then, he said, of course you know about the trust fund. And I didn't know about the trust fund, I hadn't done my research. But he had actually started a trust fund 6 months before God had given me that vision 15 years ago. And one of the aims of the fund was to start to build a national landmark, which was going to be about Jesus. So he said he'd go away and pray about it. I thought it was pretty obvious that God was in this. And then he came back a few weeks later and said that he prayed about it and he decided to give us some land. So in 2018, he gave us a piece of land, not the one that was circled, but a few miles away. But then for reasons beyond both our control, that land didn't work. And then a few months later, he gave us another piece of land. And again, that one didn't work. And then eventually they employed an architect to look at their portfolio of land and give us the piece that he thought would best suit us. And guess what? It was the land that Sue had circled
only 2 years previous. And it is an incredible piece of land. It's in between two motorways. It's by HS2, high speed train that's being built. And it's also in a flight path. We think 500,000 people will go past this monument every week. It's going to be absolutely perfect for the Wall of Answered Prayer.
So I think with any dream, you have to judge, is God in this? Is he in it? I hope after watching that, you might start to think maybe he is. We have had incredible favour along this journey. Every step of the way, God has introduced somebody to me with the skills to help us just at the right stage. You know, I've been in meetings where I'm thinking, I really need somebody to help me with planning. And the top planning barrister in the country is in the room on faith projects and said, yes, I'll give you all my time for free. I mean, it's been like that all the way along the journey. We've had meetings, multiple meetings in Parliament, meetings in Number 10. Looks like I'm going to maybe have another meeting in Number 10 soon, doesn't it, with somebody else. But who knows? But it's been incredible, the doors that God has opened for us. And we have the political will to build this. There is a political will across the parties. It's probably the only thing all the parties do agree on right now. But to build a national landmark about Jesus. I mean, how incredible is that? So this is where we are now. We've got the architectural drawings. And we are now in the process of our planning, and it's looking good. And once we've got our planning, then certain funds will be released to us to help us build the whole thing. But I'm in a gap right now, and I'm gonna ask you for money. I'm not gonna apologize for it, because if you don't want to give it, you won't give it, and that's fine. But we're in this gap. I need to find. Now I think we're on, it was 145,000 last week. We've raised 24,000 this week. I need to find another 122,000 in the next 4 weeks. Big number. Scary number. Standing on the edge. But if God has done it once, he can do it again and again and again. And so I am looking for people of faith to come and stand with us. So this is what I need from you, Life Church Bath. Is that right? Have I got the name right? Online with the branding there. So this is what I need. If you can put up a slide. Firstly, I need answer prayers. I need you to share my stories. I need 1,929 answer prayers from Bath and Northeast Somerset. Can you help us? Can you help us? Can you encourage the other churches in this area? Can you talk to your friends and encourage them to share their stories? You know, I spoke to Bob Hamer before the meeting, and he shared his story about healing from Asperger's. And I'm like, that's going to be so amazing for some couple going past in their Google car in 100 years' time, or whatever they're driving, or maybe they're flying, who knows. But they see the Wall of Answered Prayer. They've just had the diagnosis of Asperger's. They have no hope. And then they go to this monument, and they type it into a touchscreen, or they put it on their app on the phone, or whatever, and they read Bob's story of how he called on the Lord who can, the God of the impossible, the Jesus who listens, who's alive and who answers, and all of a sudden that family have got hope that he can. That's what this is about. And then we need to find 2019 heroes. When we did the Kickstarter, we raised £47,000 with 723 people. That works out at an average of £72. If I can find 2019 people to donate £72, we'll get there. And I'm sorry that it's a monetary ask, but it's just where we are right now. But we are going to build in this country a national landmark about Jesus. We are going to fulfill that Deuteronomy 4 verse 9, where a million people are going to consider the things that God has done. They're going to write it down, and they're going to make sure that their children and their children's children and generation after generation after generation after generation of people in this country will know that Jesus answers prayer. People in this country will hear that he is alive, that he listens, and that he answers. And here's the thing for me. I think there is a consequence of sharing answered prayer. And the consequence of that is you change the atmosphere for it to happen again. And I believe that this will be a key, an element to bringing revival in this nation.